Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming out this morning. It's pretty chilly out there. Joey, when you prayed for that our furnace would keep running right on, so I was thinking about that this week. Can you imagine if we think that we don't need God? Boy, what would happen if we lost our power, our furnace, or our natural gas for just a short period of time? We would realize pretty quickly that we need God. Yeah. And it comes really clear to you when you live in a cold country like this, what that's like. So thank you, everyone, for coming this morning. And the worship team really enjoyed worshiping this morning. Thank you for everyone that's participated. I wanted to read a scripture passage in Galatians, just start off in Galatians 4:4 this morning. It says this: "But when the time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now, you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." So that's a passage I want to touch on a little later on. I just wanted to share that as we start this morning. So we have some kids here this morning. And kids, it's Christmas time, right? What is the thing that you love the most about Christmas? Presents. Kian down there. Thanks, Kian. Yeah, that's my grandson back there. They come from Grand Prairie this morning, so yeah. So, like the presents. What about, is there another special time of the year that you like? How about your birthday? And somebody like, do you guys like your birthday? Stu doesn't like his birthday. I don't even want to know mine anymore either. Yeah. So the kids do though. How come you like your birthday so much? Yes. There you go. So we get presents, and you know sometimes during Christmas time we can get all wrapped up in that. And we're wondering, why do we give gifts and receive gifts at Christmas? And it's a great time. But kids, we give because we want to show someone how much we have them, we love them, or appreciate them. So we give gifts because we want to show somebody how much we love them or appreciate them. And we receive gifts because we want someone to know they are special and that we love them, right? That's why we do that. We receive gifts because we want someone to know they are special and that we love them. And, you know, as we think about Christmas and that right now, that one, what was that one special gift given to us at Christmas? Anyone? McKinley. Jesus, that's right. Jesus, the one special gift given to us at Christmas. And who gave it? God did. That's right. God gave it. Because he wants us to know how much he loves us. And the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, is the most pivotal event in all of history past and history into the future, like into the future. It's the most pivotal event, and it never gets old, the coming of Jesus, and it never will get old. We'll be worshiping the Lord forever and thanking him forever for the gift that he gave to us of eternal life. It's Christmas. It's time to remember our Savior's birth, God's appointed time, a time God has been long preparing for. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Way back in Genesis 3:15, God said to Adam and Eve, and he said to the serpent that he was sending a savior. He said, I will cause hostility between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he, Jesus, will strike your head, and you, Satan, will strike his heel. So Jesus was going to strike the death blow. Satan was going to cause a lot of trouble for Jesus. And he causes a lot of trouble for us today as his people, as Christians. But one day he's going to be removed from the scene. Hallelujah for that day. I'm looking forward to it. And all the way through the Old Testament, God had been calling people to get ready for the coming Savior. Right to the very last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And Malachi 3:1 says, look, I'm sending my messenger, talking about John the Baptist, and he will prepare the way before me. Then the Lord, talking about Jesus, you are seeking, will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you look for so eagerly is surely coming, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And he has come. Israel was eagerly looking for the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord to come. But between Malachi and Matthew, there were no prophets for 400 years. So there was a gap there. They call them the silent years. The Old Testament writings were actually finished. There was no new word from the Lord for 400 years between Malachi and Matthew. The Old Testament writings were out there. There was no prophets. Nobody was speaking, giving a message from God. And it's a period of time when the Old Testament teaching was permeating throughout the world. It's interesting what God was doing. They call them years of silence. But does that mean that God stopped working? No, God did not stop working. He never stops working. And it's just like, how many of you have been to a stage production, a play? Yeah, pretty near everybody. So it's kind of like that. When one scene is done, the director drops the curtain, right? And all of the workers behind the curtain get ready for the next scene. And everybody in the audience is in anticipation of what it's going to be like when the curtain opens. It's kind of like that. God, for 400 years, dropped the curtain, and he set up the stage for the coming of the Messiah. And actually, not just for 400, but we're talking about the silent years. He's been setting that stage all the way through the Old Testament. But so that was kind of what it was like. People were waiting in anticipation for the next scene. Israel was in anticipation. They had not heard a word from the Lord for a long time, but God told them what they need to expect. Lots of shifting going on in those 400 years. God was preparing Israel for the coming of their Messiah. Babylon was in power. Then the Medo-Persian Empire came into power. The Greece took over. And then Syria, and then finally Rome. And Rome was in power of the world at the time that Christ came. And it is into the Roman Empire that they came, and it was a time of suffering and hopelessness that God enters again on the scene, lifts the curtain, and he enters again on the scene with his son, born in Bethlehem. The long-awaited Savior of Israel and the world. It was a major event. We should never get tired of waiting, because God will keep his promises. You know, they went through those 400 years, they thought, where is God? You know, sometimes we go through things in life and we wonder, where is God? And we wait. We wait for months, for years, 20 years, 30 years, for God to do something that we've been praying for. And then all of a sudden, boom, it happens. And We have a lady in our we have a lady in our church that had been praying for her family. She was going to share her testimony this morning, and she will later on. And she'd been praying for her family to come to know Jesus. And just in the last 6 months, three of her family members came to know Jesus. Amazing. You know, we think God is not working, but he is. So what is going to happen in the next scene of your life? Are you ready to meet the Lord? What's going to happen in 2022? All of a sudden, Jesus came as a baby in a manger. All of a sudden, he'll come again. Do we live in expectation? Are we ready for that coming? Joey read Luke 2, 1 to 20, and it says there, the time came and the shepherds in the nearby fields were visited by angels who announced the coming of the Lord. They were moved by that. They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angels had said to them about this child, and all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. They were evangelists. They went around, they told everybody around Bethlehem, all over the countryside there, that what they'd seen, what the glory of God had come, and told them that the baby, this Messiah, was born in Bethlehem. And they told everybody. They weren't afraid. The shepherds were the lowest level of society in their day. They were like the street people, maybe in our days, possibly. We could compare it to that. That's what everybody thought of them. They were like the street people, but they didn't care. They shared the good news that Jesus was born. And the news was out there that something significant had happened. And these wise men, I'll read that to you, the passage about the wise men in Matthew. Just read that because we haven't read that one yet. It says here, Matthew 2, 1, chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him. King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem, and he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, where is the Messiah supposed to be born? In Bethlehem in Judea, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you. You will be the shepherd for my people Israel. So Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. And we all know what Herod's ulterior motive was to that, and the terrible grief and mourning that came in Bethlehem over that. So we see these wise men, they were prominent people that lived somewhere in the east, far east. The Bible doesn't tell us who they were or actually where they came from, but they came from the far east. And when Herod ordered the killing of the baby boys in Bethlehem, he inquired of the time when they seen the first star, and it was 2 years that they had seen the first star. So the star first come up. So it could have been a very, very long journey, months and months and months, but they came. The wise men came. They were prominent people in the east, and how they knew about that star, the Bible doesn't tell us. But somehow they had knowledge of a star. When it rose in the sky, the Bible calls them also, another name for the wise men were astrologers. and they could recognize something different going on in the sky. And when they seen that, they said, there's something going on here. God is doing something, and we need to go figure it out. And they got on their, they got on that journey and probably rode camels. Some commentators say they could have come as far away as China, possibly. It's an amazing trip that they took to go and see the arduous journey that they took. And these were, and they arrived. When they arrived, they talked to Herod, and the news again went out all over Jerusalem, all over the city, and all the people were disturbed again. So when the shepherds announced it, the wise men announced it a year or two later, that this baby was born, people around the area had a knowledge of it. And the wise men came and they worshiped Jesus, the baby. They realized that this was the Messiah. This was God's promise. This was a pivotal event in there. So they announced the coming of his son, the shepherds and the wise men. They're my favorite guys, I think, you know. God announced it to the street people. He announced it to people who live in mansions so that they could go and know and share the gospel to others. So the gospel is for all people, everybody, everywhere. So what it says in Luke 2, that it is for, that Jesus is for all people. So today, just an application, a couple of points to close up the message this morning, challenge us today. Are we excited today about this gift that God has given us? It's Christmas, the time we come with awe and gratitude that God gave us this most wonderful gift of his son, the time when he visited us and met our deepest need to be set free from sin and brought back to him. Do you ever stop to think about what God has done? Just on a daily basis, but then broaden that out and just think about what he's done for us throughout history. That he just continues to take care and he continues to make the world go round and he continues to fulfill his plan and purpose in history and in the future to come. We have so much to be thankful for. And number two, are we pursuing God in our lives today? Excuse me. I can't help think about the shepherds. They seen the awesome glory of God. They heard the announcement that the long-awaited Savior had been born. They didn't say, well, that's nice. Okay, let's go back to our sheep in the field. They didn't do that, did they? They said, let's go to town and let's see this thing that's happened. Let's go to town. And when they got done seeing it, they said, let's go tell everybody else about it. And they did. They pursued this announcement that God gave them. They pursued God in their lives because they were overwhelmed that God would think of them and he would reach out to them. And when they went back to their sheep, they went back to their sheep glorifying and praising God. Their lives were changed by what had taken place. And this morning, the challenge to us is our lives changed? The wise men saw this star rise. They didn't just say, well, well, that is nice. They didn't just say, oh, that's nice. There's a star rising up in the sky over there. Hey, cool. Look at that. They didn't just say that. They understood something very significant was taking place. And they went to find out. A tremendously arduous journey that they went on and left whatever their businesses were, whatever they were doing, and for more than a year probably, maybe up to 2 years, they were gone. And they came, followed the star, and when they, so the star ended up stopping over the house in Bethlehem. Jesus was in a house by that time. That it, the Bible says that the wise men rejoiced at the star, that it had led them right to that house. There was something very significant, and they worshiped him. They pursued God. They realized here was someone very significant. This King of the Jews was for them too. It was for the shepherds. It was for the wise men. It was for them. And as we see the events that we are experiencing today, this, how many of you think the world is moving pretty fast today? Changes are just, whoa, like, every day we can just see stuff. You know, we just get over a flood in BC, and then the tornadoes a few days later down in the U.S. We got Omicron moving across the country, and we're just in a real changing time. And we need to pursue God. Our world is changing, and it's not going to be the same. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that we are going to be different, and we got things, you know, we need to make adjustments in our lives. And the day when Jesus is coming back is fast approaching. Maybe today we need to respond to this gift God is offering us of salvation. Kids, adults this morning, anyone here that has not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, need to do that. Don't wait, because it may not be good. We need to get our shoulder into it. You know, the shepherds didn't just say, oh, that's nice. The wise men didn't just say, oh, that's nice. They got busy and they got their shoulder into it. You know, we keep saying nice. Oh, that's nice. Church is nice. I can go to church and I can feel good. And I can go home, and then I'm pretty good for the week, but I'll just go home, and it doesn't change me. You know, someday nice could become real nasty for us if we don't get it right, you know. And what are we going to do with Jesus as our Lord and Savior? We don't want it to be nasty. One day we're going to die. One day Jesus is going to come back. One day the rapture is going to occur, which is the next event on the calendar, and boom, we're going to be gone. And if we're left here, then we'll be forced to make a decision, and that is what Ramona is going to share with us down the road. That's what she shared with her family that brought them to making a decision in the Lord, that if we're left here, then we have to make a real decision. Are we going to be martyred for Jesus, or are we going to go along with the world? Jesus or the world? We have to make a choice. And now's the time, everybody. Now's the time. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that. That's why you come, to set us free from the law. So this morning, as 2020 comes to a close, we need to pursue God. And in Galatians 4:4-6, we read, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. Jesus was just like us. He was subject to the same things that we are, but he overcame, so that he was the perfect sacrifice that went to the cross to die for our sins and take away our sins. And God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And that message is for everybody in the world today. We can all have an opportunity to come to Christ and give our heart to him. And but you know, we too, we who know him now, That's the first step is salvation. The next step is that we, like the shepherds, go out, and the wise men go out and share the good news. And, you know, as we roll into 2020, close this year out, it's hard to believe, eh? Another year gone by, and a new one coming. That we would endeavor this morning to begin to pray for people that we want God to save and watch God work. Ramona was praying for her kids for a long time, and they got saved. And salvation is happening in her house. I remember years back, nobody in our family was saved. And then I had one brother who got saved, one sister got saved, and they started praying for us, for all of us. And we just, one by one, we just started coming to the Lord. So endeavor to take a look at somebody and begin to pray for them and look for opportunities to share God's wonderful message of the gospel with them. We need to receive this gift and we need to share this gift. Let's work to bring the Savior back into Christmas time as we go along. Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful love toward us, Lord, that throughout all of history, for the last 6,000 years, Father, you have been busy fulfilling your plan, Father, and at just the right time, Jesus came. And now, Lord, we look back and we rejoice. And Father, help us this morning as we go to make this a new pursuit in our life, that we would see the kingdom of heaven, see the work of God, see our gifts and our talents, and Lord, begin to use them in a new way, to have courage and strength to do that in this new year, we pray. And Father, we thank you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.